So the first, before we go to season two, the first book of this whole series is called You. And like I said, there's only two books out when this series started in 2018. The second book, which is called... Hidden Bodies, is seasons 2 and 3. And then You Love Me is season 5. And so is For You and Me Only. Also season 5. And just to let you know, I probably just, I'm going to say this again when we get to that. Because You and Me wasn't completely out yet when season 5 hit. Wait, hold on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because there was only 2 books out when the 3rd season came out. So everything from season 3 and 5 was basically either leftovers that they wanted to use from the book Hidden Bodies, or things that Netflix came out because there wasn't another book to reference from. So I think that Caroline used what happened in the show in the last 2 books. So continuing on, season 2. So Joe is no longer Joe. And you're like, oh, because he kills like 4 or 5, doesn't really matter how many, he killed people. And I'm like, no, my friend, that's not why. He stole somebody's identity. And that person, I just want to make sure I have that correct. Okay, so before... Okay, so the second season, Joe moves to LA. To Los Angeles, California. He finds a guy named Will... Bethlehem. Just somewhere. Because again, Joe has murdered people. So he sees Will somewhere, knocks him out, and I'm like, oh, so we're already starting with him killing people. Got it. No, he takes Will, puts him in a cage. Again, he finds a storage unit in downtown Los Angeles, makes a cage there. Anyway, he takes Will, puts him in the cage, steals Will's identity, and now his name is Will. Because Joe is trying to foolish everybody. So if people find, decide to be smart and test his pee and link it to Joe, guess what? Joe's dead. He doesn't go to jail because what's his name? What's my name? This is Joe's thought process. will. Psychotic. That's just messed up. Just go to jail for what you have done. You've killed people. During this whole series, we find out information about Candace, Joe's ex-girlfriend, who he thought he killed. She has not died. She's found Joe and was like, she used to call him Bunny. I was like, Bunny, I know what you did. I know who you killed. You're going down. And I was like, yes. And her, aka Candace, theme for this whole series is to take Joe down, show to prove that he killed all these people, get justice, send this terrible a-hole to jail. And I was all for it, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And she's just collecting evidence, you know. So when she goes to a police officer, be like, see, my ex, he's a serial killer. I love that. So Joe is, at this point, he's working for a book clerk because Joe loves a book. Joe loves books, so of course he's working as a book clerk somewhere. Again, he still doesn't have friends. He's a loner. And this bookstore is close to a bakery, and he meets his next obsession. And her name, ironically, is Love. Her last name is Quinn. She is a twin. Her twin's name is 40. And I'm like, huh. I don't like the names that your parents give you. You named your child 40, like the number. And I'm like, Love is kind of, okay, weird for a name too. And I'm not saying it's weird because it's a LA, and people in LA call their children's weird name. And I'm like, no, people everywhere call whoever their child weird names all the time. It's not just an Hollywood thing, LA thing, California thing, or famous people thing, or rich people thing. Some people call their children weird names in general. I'm like, okay. So they're twins. Love is a part unique. And while I'm saying this is the only love interest so far, if we're gonna talk about the first three seasons, that last two seasons they have a kid together. Spoiler alert, they get married, they do the trials and tribulations that go on with a marriage, who I also think is his perfect match. In general. So, like always, he steals from her, stalks her, etc. Rachel lives. He sees a young girl played by Jenna Ortega, and this is the only season she is in, and her name is Ellie in the series. And Ellie, she lives with her older sister, and her older sister is very suspicious of Joe, and her name is Delilah. And she's an investigative reporter. But they at some point have a little fling here. But
Joe, like, the last
season with Paco, is, like, very interested in, like, being there for Ellie and protecting Ellie through everything. There's this producer guy that does illegal things with minors and children that Joe ends up killing. Again, Joe has to kill somebody. That's a complete pattern. Again, he gets to know Quinn. Yeah, her last name's Quinn. But he gets to know Love. They fall in love with each other. They're obsessed with each other. She tells Joe, Love tells Joe about her. When his ex, when Joe's ex, Candace, comes, he literally lies and is like, oh, she's just obsessed. She's sad that we broke up. And I'm like, no, she's not. Can you please stop lying? Anyway, we go back in season. I'm just going to do seasons 2 and 3 together because Love is in both seasons. I'll just talk about them interchangeably. So seasons 2 and seasons 3, we get to know more about Joe. How he grew up. What happened in his childhood. What caused or what made him the person that he is. What made Joe have this love, what made him have a charming but dangerous man with an obsessive love disorder in general. All right, so we go back to when Joe was a little boy and his mother, and we go back when we see Joe's mom, his mom and dad. His mom and I'm going to say this, one more time, constantly gets abused by her husband, aka Joe's dad. To the point that she leaves Joe's dad, and not leave as in like breaks up, divorces him, She goes out with other men trying to find a way to escape her husband, to the point that he's already abusive and toxic in all shapes or form. He accuses her of cheating, which results for him beating her up more. And it also makes Joe's dad beat up on Joe because he's like, I know you know your mom. Your mom is cheating. Tell me or I'm going to beat you up. And Joe doesn't really know because it's not, like, he does know, but he's not going to rat his mom out. Even if he didn't know anything, and he was just at school and didn't know anything, his dad's like, you know, so beats him up anyway. So his dad's just abusive. He needs to go to therapy. His dad needs to go to therapy. He needs to fix whatever issues he has, because beating up your spouse, your partner, your children is a no-go. That's messed up. You need help. There we go. Even if, and beating up someone is not going to fix the problem. She's cheating on you, trying, because she's trying to find a way out. I'm not, again, I do not support cheating, but I know why she's cheating. She's trying to find another way out. I get that. So, we get to a point where Joe's mom buys a gun for self-defense. And this is in season 3. We find this out. And there's a fight that happens. And before, like, there's many times before, she's, his mom says, I got a gun for protection. I put it right there. Just letting you know. Which I thought was, I understand why you're telling him. Because then he's not, Joe's not like, what, where's, why is there a gun? But I feel like you're also giving too much turmoil and like talking to your son too much about the situation. He knows around already about the situation because he's seen it. He's seen you get abused. He's been abused by his dad / your husband. So I don't think you should do that because, again, he's still growing and messes up his psyche. So his dad is, again, choking his mom, almost kills her. He shoots his dad for self-defense, and his dad dies. So that's the first person that Joe dies. And this is the only time I'm going to defend Joe. After that, I'm not defending him. That was 100% self-defense. Your mom almost died. If she was able to get the gun and defend herself, she would have. But you protected her. That one does not count. That gun does not count. I know his mom at that point as well was like, you did fine, you saved me, da 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 da. But what I did not like was that his mom, after that, abandoned Joe, put him in a foster home because she wanted to get away from everything related to her husband. I feel like at least take Joe with you. And I did not also appreciate that his mom, which is when she was with him, left Joe either at the supermarket and would go with other guys and then say stay here and not come back. No, you have friends that can watch him unless because of your abusive husband. He separate, which usually happens, brings you away from your circle so you don't have anyone to watch him. So overall, he was left and he constantly would tell the other foster boys, oh, my mom's coming back, to the point that they would bully him for that. But I don't think you should bully someone. He had one friend there and was like, his friend was like, stop saying that your mom's coming back. She probably isn't coming back. Don't put your high hopes. We all wish our parents would come back for us. Don't do that. And he had one, there was a nurse that was in the foster home, and who Joe and her would read books, and Joe got really close to her. The only issues that she had was that she had an abusive boyfriend, and she ended up getting killed by her. Like, technically, what almost happened to Joe's mom happened to her, which is her boyfriend killed her out of rage. Side note, just in general for anyone that's dating, if your partner is abusing you in any shape or form, there are other ways. There's domestic violence hotlines and other ways to find help if you're isolated and they took you away from your loved ones, to find help because your life matters. A lot of people care about you, and to be honest, they will put, if one day you aren't there, they're gonna put two and two together, and your partner is going to be, they're gonna put the finger at you because you're the one that they saw their loved one, and they saw a couple days after you hit them, and their loved ones said it was nothing, and they fell, which it's never really they fell, it's that partner punch or something, and they're not gonna believe you. So I feel like this show also like was has given warning signs and ways showed like domestic violence is not okay at all. So continuing on from like his mom, the nurse, Joe has had a pattern of seeking women that are in terrible situations. Their partner is neglects them, treats them badly, emotionally, physically, or in any sort of way, and tries to save and be save them in any way, like be Superman and take them out, and then be like, you date me, I will protect you until like you find out something that I don't want you to find out, and then I'll kill you. But that's pretty much what how Joe Goldberg is. And then he ruins your life, the people around your life in general. So to continue with seasons 2 and 3, he gets adopted by Mr. Mooney, who is the bookstore owner of the bookstore that he worked in season 1 in New York. And Mr. Mooney, he is an army veteran. So he has a lot of military experience, PTSD, and other traumas from being in the war. And how he raises Joe and disciplines Joe is really bad, which shows Joe, love always hurts. If you love someone, you hurt them. Because Mr. Mooney, whenever Joe did anything wrong, again, the book fixed place, he would lock Joe there until Joe behaved. And then when Joe learned his lesson, would let him go. And he would be like, I'm doing this because I'm loving you. You need to be disciplined. Da 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 da. Which made Joe also have a bad representation of love, which he already had because of his parents, especially his dad. He hates to be by himself and lonely because he was locked in that cage because of Mr. Mooney. And overall, like, he had a terrible childhood and teenagehood, which I believe, like, overall made him become a serial killer. We also find out this backstory, this is in season 2, about Kansas and his relationship. So Joe became very obsessive again, controlling paranoid and was like, Kansas was cheating. Which she was. She was unhappy. She didn't know how to get out of the relationship. And she cheated on him with a photographer. And he witnessed her cheating. He caught her cheating. And he confronted Kansas about it. And she told him that she was not happy and wanted to break up with him. And he would not accept that. Her and the Joe and the photographer ended up having a dispute, and to the point that Joe pushes the photographer over, I don't know what is that called, not over a cliff, but like a wall, and he dies. So the photographer was Joe's first kill. So before he met Beck, he has killed one person. And then him and Kansas has a fight. He ends up hurting her in some way and thinks that she's dead. She didn't die. She survived it. So for Joe, he thinks, oh, he killed two people, but he has only killed one. So yeah, so he again dates love is Joe. She is the feminine, the female version of Joe. She has killed people for her brother. They had a babysitter one time that was horrible to 40. She killed them. Because her parents have a lot of money, they were able to change the narrative to something else. She has, and this is from season 3, she killed her ex-husband was going to leave her. He had cancer and was like, I'm not happy in the marriage, I want a divorce. And she was like, no, we can work this out. He didn't want to. She tried to paralyze him, but she put too much in the paralyzed thing that it killed him. So she has killed two people before Joe. Joe, when finding out that love is him was like, peace. And me, I was like, you are a hypocrite. So it's okay if you kill for love. But if she kills for love, and this is in season 2, we have an issue. So Joe, at the end of season 2, I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but I know this is going to be a long one, so I'm trying to shorten this up. If Joe kills someone for love, it's fine. But if the girl that he's with kills for love, there's an issue. So he tries at the end to kill love. But love stops him. And he doesn't end up killing love because she's pregnant of his baby. And it's the truth. She's not fake pregnant. They have a child named Henry in season 3. So talking about love. Love kills to protect her family. Love kills Delilah because Delilah dates Joe. Was trying to get to the bottom of who's killing people. Because Joe has killed multiple people. So to protect Joe, she killed Delilah, plus Delilah was kind of dating Joe. So she killed Delilah. She killed Candace because Candace was going to rat Joe out. Candace was warning Love, being like, he's a serial killer. He did this, that, and the other. Come with me. I want to protect you. Candace was being a great person. And Love killed Candace because he's like, no, I'm a serial killer too. He's a serial killer. We'll be a lovely serial killer couple. The difference is Joe doesn't have an issue killing people, in my opinion. And it looks like that. He's okay with hiding the bodies, putting them in small bags and all those terrible things, and getting rid of the body. Well, Love has an issue with it. She doesn't like killing. She just does it as a last resort. She's just concerning, right? Love kills out of impulse. Joe is because you did something he didn't like. He's trying to protect people. And then he knows how to clean it up, which is concerning. Love is more redeemable, in my opinion. And you could fix her problems when I don't think you can with Joe. Love, she does also need to go to jail, but I feel like from that she can fix Joe. He just needs to get the electric chair. And at the end of season 2, I'm like, this dude needs to go to jail. He's killed multiple people. Some of the people Love did kill, but in general, he has killed multiple people. To the fact that, like, I watched a video and it said, like, 21 people. That is how many people Joe has killed. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised it wasn't more. But overall, like, he's killed people to protect Ellie. He's killed people to protect Delilah. He's killed people to protect Love. Love has killed people to protect Joe and 40. But overall, we, like, learn about Love and their relationship. So season 3, and this is the last season I'm talking about because this is already a long one. So we see a glimpse of Love and Joe's marriage. They get married in a courthouse. They have the baby. Love is struggling with postpartum, like a lot of moms do. After they have a baby, they feel like sexy and less like wanting to do things. And while that's happening, Joe is having an affair with the next door neighbor. They no longer live in LA. They live in the suburbs in LA because to raise Henry. Joe thought they were gonna have a girl, which is like, I'm gonna have a girl. She's going to save me. She's going to fix me. And his karma was he has a boy. And he was upset about that because, oh darn it, I have to make sure I don't repeat. He's not like me or his mom and carries that serial killer gene or becomes a bad person, da 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 da. That's Joe's biggest fear. So the next door neighbor, her name is
Natalie.
So Natalie is played by Michaela McManus, and she is known by me, at least. She played Lindsay in One Tree Hill, and Lindsay was engaged to Lucas in season 5 of One Tree Hill. So that is who Natalie is. She is literally in one episode of season 3. Joe has like an affair with her, ends up going over to her house, steals a pair of underwear, which is from her, like he always does, and puts it in his little box. Again, love knows his ways and what he does, finds it. Love wants to open a bakery. Again, Natalie, she's a real estate agent, helps Love find a bakery. And it's really hard for Love because a lot of people in this town want to eat, are very like, they don't eat gluten, they don't eat this and that. So it's going to be hard for her to make business. So she's trying to figure out. She ends up killing Natalie. And then this whole season 3, her husband, Matthew, is trying to figure out who killed Natalie. Who killed my wife. And he in general gets obsessed with it. He won't sleep until he finds out who killed his wife. Which is awesome. Like, everybody wants someone that's that dedicated in them. To continue on, Joe helps Love clean up the mess. And to this part so far, we have heard this series in general, and I will say it in the second part too, is in Joe's perspective. Everything you hear is in Joe's perspective in general. You hear how he dislikes people, he hates people, he likes people. We hear everything from his perspective. And a lot of times I want to hear from the girls. Like season 1, I would love to hear what Beck's thinking. You know, I wanted it to be more back and forth. There are some parts of season 3 which I'm like, oh, I love this. That we get Love's perspective. And that particular part when it comes to Love, we get her perspective in season 3. In episode 3, episode 6, we get the Love is in a book retreat with her mom, and some of the other moms in their town, Marta, Linda, and pretty much we get Love's POV, which is refreshing. And also, like, in season 3, there is in episode 3, Joe gets the measles because he's never been vaccinated, remember? Because where he would have gotten it was either like his parents, his birth parents would have got him the measles shots, and I'm surprised why they didn't vaccinate him. And I guess like when he was put in the orphanage, I'm surprised they wouldn't have given it to them then. But he's never got the measles, like the measles shot. His son Henry got it, and he got it from Henry. And at that episode, he sees himself, and he has, and himself is saying, telling him how he's terrible, and it was a very cool episode. I liked that episode very, very much. And they, and at this point, again, they have a newborn baby who's gotten the measles. And we have a love that's like, whoever gave my child the measles, I am very mad at them. And they find out it is one of their neighbors who is anti-vax. Like, to the point that they're like, oh, kids are going to get it. Their immune system is going to be better because of it. And I'm like, their son could have died. So, to the point that they're like, are you joking? Literally, he could have died. Like, their son was in the hospital. Henry could have died. You put their child in risk of dying. And to me, I'm like, yeah, exactly. Your child had it and gave it to their child. Their child could have literally died. Like, and I feel like people that are anti-vax, you need to like understand that babies' immune systems are not strong, so they can die. And if you're anti-vax, you should make sure you're not around. For example, in this show is Gil. You should be around. You shouldn't be around babies because their child could have died. And pretty much they knocked out Gil, put him in the box, and was like, "You're in here because like our child could have died, legitimately." And he was like a remorseful, but he's like, survived, now he has a bigger immune system. I'm like, no, what is legitimately wrong with you? Like, so they keep him in the cage. They do not kill him, but he's in the cage. By the way, Joe and her, and by her I mean love, they make a cage. They're like, if someone angers them, they'll put them in the cage and then figure out what they're going to do with them. Because, again, they were paranoid because Matthew is looking around seeing who killed his wife. And then Joe, at some point, I was like, okay, you have something on us. We put you in this cage. What's something bad you have done? And he's like, oh, nothing. Like, nothing bad. I have done nothing bad. Because he was like, okay, you have this on us. I have something on you, so you won't die and we can let you out. And he has nothing. And Love finds out that Gil's wife, Margaret, lied, hid, did whatever he could to protect their son, who's in uni, who raped a girl, had the charges dropped, which is also, I remember there was also a play on this. Like, I read this in a university, that a guy raped a girl and got away with it, and she's just living through this trauma. And their son did it again, and they're like, oh, Joe and Gil are having a moment being like, I'm a terrible dad. Like, him doing it one time, I thought he would learn his lesson. He did it again. I'm not saving him. To the point, like, Gil feels so bad and guilty for, like, the first victim that his son did, that he kills himself. He commits suicide. And they end up using that suicide, which is what he did, and frame him for killing Natalie, and say that him and Natalie had an affair, which they didn't. And what they should have said is like, oh, my son was guilty. He raped someone, and that's why I committed suicide. Or at least, like, said, like, if they were gonna be smart about this, kept this it about his son, because that's why Gil committed suicide, and blamed the son for the murder, but like said, Gil killed himself because his son raped another girl. And he also slept with or raped Natalie or something. Like, at least to have justice for the two girls that his son has raped or something. Like, how about that girl? Right, exactly. I just feel bad for that girl. So, going back to the beginning, after their love pretty much killed Natalie, Love is like, we should have couples counseling. So we have a couple of episodes where they do couples counseling. They don't go in complete detail why they're there. Like, they don't disclose the murder and stuff like that to not be put into, you know, jail. But they do fix their problems and communicate, and the therapist helps them in general. There is also a point where their therapist that Love tells their therapist that Theo, who is Matthew's son, their next door neighbor, has been hitting on her, and it makes Love feel special because Joe's not paying any attention to her, not giving her any love, to the point that Love and Theo end up having an affair. Joe really doesn't care about it because Joe ends up falling, because again, Joe is working in a bookstore, ends up falling for Miriam, who is a woman that worked in the bookstore, who has a daughter and an abusive ex-husband who is a drug addict that faked, and also a news report, and faked not still being a drug addict, and is trying to continuously tries to hurt her life in general with Miriam. So Joe tries to save her. He and Love finds that out, tries to kill her, finds that she's a mom herself, and saves, and Love doesn't end up killing her. Another thing that happens this season, because Love is talking to one of the moms, Sherry, who's a mom, fully unsure that there's something, her and Joe, again, aren't having sex. And Sherry and her husband, Carrie, they're poly. They have an open relationship. They try to get Love and Joe into that. And through that, like, Love finds out that Joe's cheating on her, because before, like, every time they would get intimate, because, again, Joe is not interested in Love anymore. And he ends up thinking of Miriam and other women. That's how he gets off. Right. And we'll talk about that more in the second half. At the end of the season, Joe kills Love. Love is trying to does the same thing she did to her first husband, but successfully, like, numbs him so they can talk, because Joe's like, okay, I want to leave you. I want to go with Miriam. Can him and Miriam have an affair of their own? And Joe, and Love is like, no, you're not leaving me. Paralyze him to the point that, like, he stays still. Like, a whole lot of Theo's dad, Matthew, finds out that Love is who killed his wife. They end up, so while they're doing the threesome, again, Carrie and Sherry, they end up hearing that that Love killed Natalie, and they try to knock Love and Joe to go tell the cops. They end up in the cave, but they finally somehow escape, and they literally are staying there Hunger Gaming it, but they end up escaping. There's a lot of, like, drama and tormental things happening. Theo finds out that Love trapped them in there. Knocks him out. Joe saves him and puts him in the hospital. Finally, Joe gets unconscious, like, saves conscious, kills Love, burns the house down, cuts off his toes, frames Love for everything. And I'm like, you can't frame Love for everything. The only thing she literally did was to kill Natalie, right? But she frames Love for killing Gil, when she didn't kill Gil, he commits suicide. And again, he leaves, drops Henry into, Dante's house. Dante is one of his co-workers. And leaves to London. And that's season 4. And we'll get into that a bit in the other podcast. And I'll discuss more because this is already a long podcast on season 3. But overall, what I'm going to say is, this season was a very season over, removing all like everything that happened. This show from season 1 to 3 is very interesting, very a good show. But overall, I just hate Joe. I want him to go to jail. Joe ends up killing Marianne's ex-husband. Like, there was a point that he caught on to Joe trying to kill him or hurt him in any way, and it's like, oh, Marianne sent you, and he just punches the hell out of Joe, which I'm like, yes, he deserves that. And then the same night, Joe ends up pushing him into the world, just like he did with Candace, is the photographer that Candace was seeing, but he survives. And then he ends up, while he's still unconscious, hitting I'm trying to find Marianne's husband's name. Ends up, sorry about that, guys. Ends up ends up killing him completely. And Love tells Marianne, oh, by the way, Joe killed your ex-husband. You have to be careful with him. He gets obsessed with you. Then once he's done being obsessed with you, wants to break up with you, or he ends up killing you. So to protect you and your daughter, run away. She runs away from Joe. Joe tries to find Marianne. Can't find Marianne. So, in general, Joe deserves nobody. He just deserves to go to jail. And he does anything he does to escape. And to get what he wants. And in season 4, he ends up changing his identity again. And at this point, at the end of season, you feel, you are like, oh, Love just killed everybody. Or Joe killed everybody, technically, right? But no, Joe's still alive. So this is the first half. So seasons 1 to 3. We will talk about the rest of the show soon. But I hope you guys enjoy the podcast, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.